korkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. We got a great show today. We got Ryan Spann joining us. He's got an 8-fight.
Right it on.
Yeah. Big Dog is here. What's up, Greg dude? Romero Wilson's here. It's going to be a great show. I want to thank Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in California. Get it delivered right to you. They got CBD oil. They got marijuana, THC sex lube. They got edibles. They got indica, sativa, vape pens. You name it, they'll take care of it. Just go to speedweed.com, follow them at speedweed. So we're starting a little late because of my day, right? So I was telling you, Greg, so last week went to the park. Me and Greg went to the park, which was a lot of fun. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Me and you and my daughter. So today I'm like, today, so my wife's mom's in town. She's staying with us, which has been like, I'm actually getting stuff done. It's like a whole different, you know, lockdown now. I'm actually like, actually being effective,
yeah.
Getting work done. It's like godsend. So I'm like, all right, let's take Brielle to the park. That way she'll be tired out. And when we do the podcast, she'll take a nap. You know, it's hot out. There's things to do running around. So I walk outside with my baby to put her in the car. And my neighbor across the street has a beautiful garden. She's older black woman, is holding a baby. And she's like, my dogs are running away. Right. And they're like, fucking took off. Like, so now I hand my baby to the grandmother and I fucking bolt down to get these two little shih tzus. And she's like, I got a naked baby. She's holding a baby. She's holding a baby. And I'm running around the fucking darting to get these two shih tzus, which were very easy to catch, by the way. They were just like, I scooped them both up, right? So now I get the shih tzus and I go back to grandma who's carrying a 2-year-old. And then I'm walking and she's like, thank you so much. Like, how can I repay you? She trips and falls fucking with a baby in her hand. A naked baby. Thank God this baby was pretty tough, but baby, baby's fucking screaming. Fucking my kid's like in the car across the street with the grandma. I'm like, what more? Is there gonna be like a boulder that's gonna fucking like, it's just like Indiana Jones, like the last.
So that. And you can never ask for a reward from somebody who just fell and ate shit with a baby in their hand. You know, you can't be like, can I have like $100?
So now I'm carrying two shih tzus into her house, no mask or anything, you know, and a baby. So then I'm like, okay, so then we go to the park, right? So we go to the park and these two little kids, these like 5-year-olds are playing tennis, but not tennis, you know, like a little, the
badminton,
fake, whatever. Yeah. So my daughter loves just getting the ball. You know, like she stands next to them, retrieves the ball for them, which is fine. And the mother goes, you know, we're worried about COVID, so you could keep that ball. So starts yelling
at me. Like, yeah.
I'm like, okay. All right. Like, okay. So then we go to like other side of the, me and my daughter get banned from that side of the park. Then there's like a bunch of like little kids, like with long hair, blonde hair, all wearing Beatles shirts. Right. And the parents are just like, I don't know, on acid. There's like 10 parents sitting there like, woo, right? So I go over there and I'm watching my kid try to interact with them. And then this little girl who's like 6 years old comes up to me with her head down and goes, I'm Clementine. I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. I'm 5. I'm like, oh, great. She's like, I have a scooter at home. It used to have training wheels. Like, oh, that's nice, Clementine. So I walk with my kid. Now she's like following me at my hip, a little 5-year-old. Is following me around the park, telling me, I don't know if she has autism, I don't know what the deal is, but she's telling me everything about her. And I'm like, why aren't the parents a little bit like weirded out that there's like, I'm a 40-year-old man with a 5-year-old at my hip telling me her life story? So I'm trying to get away from her kind of, but she just keeps following me. So then I'm like to the parents, like, nice to meet you, Clementine. So thanks for telling me about your scooter and training wheels. Then they start laughing. So I scoop up my kid and we just fucking went back. So that's my date so far.
Dude, you got to know that those parents were as glad she was telling it to somebody else for me. They saw it the whole time. They're like, yeah, let him hear it for a while. Jesus, give me a break.
Really sweet kid. But I was like, I spell my name C-L-E. I'm like, oh, that's great, Clementine.
Oh, listen, if you heard it once, those parents have heard it 300,000 times. Sweet and kid. They were just happy to get a 5-minute vacation.
Anyway, that was fun going with you last week at the park. That was awesome.
You're, dude, you're hilarious at the park because you point things out to me like I'm your daughter. You're like, look, Greg, turtles. You see, it's a duck, huh? How about that duck? And I'm like, I've seen ducks and turtles, bro. We're just I'm hanging out with you. That's all.
The best is when you were like, who does she look more like, you or your daughter? I'm like, I'll be your wife. I go, when she frowns, my wife.
That was hilarious. Dude, but you, I mean, you know, you're, that's the thing is you're a parent, and when you're a parent, I guess you're used to your kids kind of, you know, you're used to whatever they do, whatever, but me not being a parent, like I'm worried the whole time.
Oh, my kids.
I'm just like, watch out. And you're like, yeah, she's fine. I love it. At one time she's like right up against the edge of the pond and I'm like, Adam, are you? And he goes, don't worry. I got a quick grasp. Like, I'll snatch her. Like, he's going to see. He's got a superhero snatcher all the time.
I was like,
but hey, you know, listen, if you're used to it, I guess it's different. I'm not used to it. So I'm.
Well, part of me was
that's
like,
why I wouldn't make a good babysitter. I'm freaked out all the time.
Well, I'm like, the worst thing that could happen is she falls in, and that might be the best thing that could happen. You know, and some.
Right. It'll teach her not to do it. She's not going to hurt herself, really.
I hate to say it, you know, but like, sometimes that's.
Well, that's the difference between the dad and the mom. The dad's going to let that happen, and the mom isn't. So, and that's how the kid learns. So. That's the difference, you know?
So, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm good, dude. I'm back on my YouTube channel, Wean Dog TV, making videos. So go check out the most recent videos I put on there. Other than that, I'm having a good quarantine. It's relaxing and, you know, on the verge.
And you're still with the brain injury girl, right?
Yes, I am. That's my girlfriend for almost 2.5 years now. So things
that's
are good.
Wild,
with
wild, man. What a journey we went on with that in the very beginning with the what was it, anal before virginity or something?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody weird. Yeah, it's all
I'm surprised
weird.
You remember. I don't even remember that. So I'm surprised that stuck in your head, not
dude,
mine.
Because I can't believe she's still, like, because for me it was that and then now. Like, I missed all the in-between.
Yeah, and I mean, if you go back to, like, the first time I was on this podcast, there's been a very, very visual evolution of me, you know, being 18 years old and going on Tinder and all these different apps, just having crazy encounters with these dirty freaks in Los Angeles to now where I'm I'm like a grown man now. I have like my own apartment, you know, in Los
Angeles. You became
Angeles.
A Republican?
First of all, your dad,
Republican?
Your dad moved out and he still pays the rent. I'm not really sure that's your own apartment.
That's just the next big hurdle I have to hop to is me paying for myself and everything.
Don't stick with that deal as long as possible. Where
do you know how hard it is to afford an apartment when you're in Los Angeles when you're 22 years old like me? I'm actually 24.
You know, during a quarantine with no – listen, stick with this deal as long as humanly possible.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. So let's
you'll have to pay for rent the whole rest of your life. Where'd your dad go?
I look forward to it.
Let's talk about some MMA. First of all,
okay.
So Tito Ortiz now wants to become a cop. He says that he's going to be a police officer. I said it'd be the first time he beats anyone under the age of 40. I mean, I don't know, man. I think he'd be a great cop for some reason. That's his whole take out of this whole thing. He's very, you know, pro-Trump, Republican. But that would be a scary fucking cop. Can you imagine, like, Tito pulls you over?
I was going to say, I think he's the cop they're protesting. I think that's exactly who they're trying to stop from becoming cops are people who just want a legal reason to whoop ass. You know, that's the problem. No wonder, of course, he's like, I love that that's his lesson out of all this. That's what he saw in all this. He's like, so from what I can tell, they're going to be weeding out a lot of these guys. They're going to need some new ones. my God.
That's his whole takeaway. He goes,
that's his takeaway.
He goes, cops are getting a bad rap. I got to stick up for the cops. I'm going to become one of them. That's his whole thing. So Tito's now going to be a cop.
It's a respectable decision, but at the same time, he's like 60 years old. Normally, you don't start a very physical and dangerous job when you're 60, dude.
Somebody said that his riot hat won't fit because that's how big God. His hat is.
it's gonna look like a little beret. His riot gear is gonna look like a yarmulke.
His cop That'll car be will be like one of those baseball like relief pitcher things that like drives around with a big helmet.
Oh man. Good. Well, yeah. Listen, that's I think that's
All right, that's so that's some news. Also, Fight Island, they named it in Abu Dhabi. Like, so we got to go.
Okay,
to the-
do you think this is actually where they originally were planning Fight Island, or do you think? Because I think they were actually trying to have Fight Island and realized that it was infrastructure-wise, it was just ridiculously too expensive.
It's not even an island, I don't think, Fight Island. It's just like a place in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't. Is this the original plan? Because I'm wondering if they just fell back to
like Ensenadas or some kind of Mexico deal, I think. Or
yeah.
Somebody said Epstein's Island was actually what they were trying to get, but I don't even know where that even is.
That'd be dope.
I'm sure Bill Clinton knows. So Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. So we have to go to the Middle East now to peacefully fight. That's how fucked up the world is right now.
Is anybody kind of disappointed that it's not going to be on the beach? It's still going to be in like a stadium? I thought it was going to be on the freaking beach, dude.
Exactly. That's what I think the vision for Fight Island was. And I think when they really did the math on the logistics and the expense and the insurance, because what happens if somebody gets seriously injured on Fight Island and they don't have the medical equipment to handle the situation? You know what I mean? And considering their sport, this is highly likely. Yeah. So I think when they started to add those things up, that now you're talking about, you know, an emergency 4-hour helicopter. You know, I think those things were probably the kind of things that probably doomed the concept.
Right.
Another fight that got announced was Darren Till versus, what's his name?
Robert Whittaker.
Whittaker. That's a good fight. I like Whittaker, though.
That's a good fight. I like those names.
I think Whittaker is a different level. I like Darren Till, but I think Darren Till's one of those guys that got knocked out 3 times in a row. Then he goes out and beats Kelvin Gastelum, and everyone's like, he's back, you know? But, I mean, look, I love Kelvin Gastelum. I still think he's a 170-pounder, not a 185-pounder. And he didn't knock out Kelvin Gastelum. He beat him. But he's also really funny on Instagram and Twitter. He talks about tons of shit, yada, yada. He's an entertaining guy. But I don't know. I think Whittaker just had a really bad fight against Israel.
Israel, yep.
And I'm not counting out Whittaker yet. I mean, look how good he was doing before that. He was beating everybody and beating everyone bad. People are so quick to jump off a bandwagon or on a bandwagon based on one fight. For me, it takes a couple fights. I mean, like 2-3. And then I'm like, all right, I'm sold on this guy. Even O'Malley. I was sold on O'Malley, but now I'm really starting to get sold on O'Malley. So let's talk about the fights over the weekend.
Undercard started out hot, man.
Oh my God, it was 3 in a row. It was and Dana White says it's not because of the smaller cage. It is because of the smaller cage.
It is because of the smaller cage. Absolutely, that 5 feet is such. I can't even believe they're counting these on the professional record. How can you count fights that were not fought in the traditional octagon? This doesn't make any sense to me.
No, make them even smaller.
I know, dude. Doesn't a smaller cage benefit wrestlers or strikers more?
I think strikers. It forces you into range faster.
I mean, based on the fact that everyone's getting knocked out, I would say strikers, right? So, all right. But first of all, let's talk about the main event. Caviello versus Jessica I. People were really upset about this. And I'm like, you know what? Come on.
It sucked.
We have fights every week. It didn't suck. I think it just the other fights were that good. I mean, Caviello looked good. I didn't look terrible. I could have looked better. The wrestling made a huge difference. And, you know, look, I even said that Caviello became a fighter because her boyfriend cheated on her. She went to the gym to lose weight, and now she's number one in the world. Let's give
now that's the MMA roasted angle right
Let's
there.
Give her boyfriend some credit, all right? He's not cheating. He's motivating you. That's who she should have thanked. She should have thanked that guy. If she would have been like, if she would have said, listen, thank you, whatever, Jorge, for fucking cheating on me. But it's also funny that she's living with her parents now. I wanted to make so many Mexican jokes about that, how they just never leave the house. But she's living with her parents. Isn't that funny to you? No?
Well, she moved back, didn't she? She moved back in with her parents and then won against the number one contender. So clearly, much like Ween Dog, not having to worry about paying rent is the key to productivity.
Exactly, dude.
Yes. Now, by the way, do you think that her living with her parents – now she's whole, her whole thing also is that Jessica I missed weight by a quarter of a pound, right? According to Jessica I, she says no. She missed weight by five, 6 pounds, but she held the towel. This is like the fourth fighter in a time in a row where a fighter has claimed another fighter held a towel while stepping on the scale. And because of that, it makes you seem like you're a lot lighter than you actually are. They got to figure something out with this. Like, make the towels electric or something. Or, like, they can't do this. Like,
what does that mean, held a towel? Explain that, held a towel.
So you step on the scale, right? They put a towel in front of you so that people can't see you naked or whatever. And then you kind of lean on the towel. So you lean on it, and it takes weight off of you, and you could lose a pound or two. It's an old wrestling trick. It's a legitimate trick. I mean,
I guess you got to ask whoever's holding the towel.
They got to be in on it.
Yeah, exactly. They got to feel that pressure. Hey, there he is. There's the man.
Speaking of good-looking naked black men, Ryan. But Ryan Spann, thanks for getting dressed up for the interview. By the way.
Oh, appreciate it.
How are you, man? What's going on?
Oh man, I'm good. Man, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. So you won. You're on an 8-fight winning streak.
Woo!
Fucking 8 fights, nice. Man.
8.
That's a lot of fights. Wow.
Oh man, y'all gonna blow my head up, man. Don't do that.
You're gonna be naked by the end of this interview. Now, the last fight, you got us worried though. I mean, cause you were tagging up Sam Alvey. You almost had him out in the first 30 seconds. You almost had a standing arm triangle. But then in the third, you look kind of tired, and he was landing some shots. Was his chin surprise you? His stamina? Did you overlook him? Or you just get tired? What happened?
It was about 3 things you listed. 1, his chin is surprising. 2, overlooked him. And 3, I got tired. So it was like a combination of those 3 things.
You won, and it was a split decision. And I'm like, there's no way. I love Sam Alvey, but you couldn't have given him the first 2 rounds.
I don't see how that happened.
I think it was because everyone was like, people couldn't believe he was still there.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it was more like a moral victory. So they kind of gave it to him.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up a combination between Beaumont, Texas and Memphis, Tennessee.
By the way, because I went looking up stuff of you. You're like a mystery, man. There's not one interview with you. Nothing about your background. I went deep. I went on Google. I went 9 pages. I found nothing about you. Like,
yeah, you probably seen like a bunch of old white dudes. So.
Seriously, like, did you play sports in high school?
Yes, I played football for 2 years. I ran track my senior year.
And when did you get into fighting?
I've been training since I was a baby. So that's why it's funny. I don't know if you noticed, but I like a lot of stuff when you have your daughter in the room and stuff.
Yeah.
So I started when I was 18 months and kind of just been going, yeah.
Wow. Now what got you into professional fighting?
Let's see. What did start it? I don't know. My brother was a boxer, and he brought it back to me. Well, he got me started in everything. He's the reason I started so young. And he was just, I think we started boxing in 2004. He was in Iraq, and he came back on leave. And thanks to here, I don't need it. Here, thank you. And I think it was like 2004 because my nephew was born. He came back on leave, and when he came back, he brought back boxing. And so when he left again, came back, he got an honorable discharge because he was boxing on the all-army team, and he got an invite to do that. And so when he came back, I started like boxing full time, and he was just so good. They didn't know my name. It was just like Sean Cole, little brother, and so nobody really knew who I was. So every time I go, they'd be like, "Where's your brother? Where's your brother?" And I was like, "Well, he's at work. I'm here though." And it got to a point where I kind of stumbled into a MMA gym somehow, and also due to my brother, he worked at the prison, so he would do jiu-jitsu for like combat stuff, you know. And one day he went he took me with him, and he was like, he would always ask me, hey, you want to go roll? You want to go roll? And I was like, no, I don't even know what that is. I'm not doing that. And one day my mom wanted me to paint the house. So I knew in order for me to get out of it, I had to do something with my brother. And she would let me go. he asked me, did I want to go roll? And I was like, yeah, I'll go. I started rolling at this college, and they invited me to the main gym. And so I took that as an opportunity to do something different than my brother. And I loved it. He didn't really like it. He didn't like the grappling aspect of it and stuff. He's just pure boxer. And so I started doing that, and that's what kind of got me started. And that was in 2009, 2010.
Wow.
I started MMA, yeah.
And now here you are 11 years later, ranked 13 in the world. I mean, that's amazing. All to get out of painting.
I still had to paint. I still had to do it when I got back.
That's amazing. I watched some of your fights last night. Your knockout over Nogueira, that was in Brazil.
Yeah.
And they were all booing you. Everybody was booing you. And, I mean, that must have been – was that, like, one of the highlights of your life? Was that must have been so surreal.
Yeah, it was. It was real. The funny thing about it is, at the weigh-ins, this was our second fight in a row in Brazil. And at the weigh-ins, you know, my brother's always with me. And he was like, I think I stuck up a finger and did this, like, shh, right? And he was like, man, what you do that for, man? They was cheering for you. Why, you know, they liked you. Why did you do that? And I was like, really? What are you talking about? You know, because once I did that, they started booing and, like, got even louder. And he was like, man, they liked you. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, they was cheering for you. They were saying your name. They were saying Superman. And I was like, they what? And so my other guy, Brian Hall, was there. He was in the crowd watching. And he was recording it. And I was like, man, what are you talking about? He was saying my name. And that's Brian was like, no, I don't think so. My brother's like, no, man, they were saying Superman. And so when we watched it back, they were saying, who by my header? And I was like, bro, they weren't saying my name. They were saying I was going to die.
That is hilarious. I mean, so many of your fights, man. By the way, one of your fights I watched against Alex Nicholson, that fight might have been one of my – he hit you, and he hit so hard, this dude. I know Alex. Yeah. He looks like a young Mark Coleman. I mean, just like, boom. And everyone was like, it's over, it's over. And all of a sudden, you just came back. I mean, your eyes were like at the back of your head. He punched, kept punching you. You just got up. You hit him once. That might have been one of the best. It was like a Rocky. That was amazing. It was crazy.
He made me mad. So – once I got to thank that referee because he was willing to let me die, and I appreciate that because I needed that. Because goodness, he let me take a beat. But he kept hitting me in the back of the head throughout the whole fight, and like every time he was just pounding on me, he was just hitting me in the back of the head, and it basically got to the point where I was just getting mad. And when I finally got mad enough to get up, you know, screaming at my coach, my coach was screaming at me. In my mind, he was screaming, get the F up. And I was like, man, all right, well, I probably need to get up then. Turns out he wasn't saying it like that. But the way my training went, my training for that entire camp pretty much went just like that. So me get beat up for a little while and get up and then win. And he basically hit me in the back of the head so much, I was like, all right, well, now I'm mad. And nobody's going to do anything about it, so I might as well get up and do something. And so I got up and knocked him out. And I remember the referee came, he was grabbing my arm, and I was just so pissed. And I felt him touch my arm, and I was like, all right, let's get a couple more shots in. So, yeah, I was pretty mad.
No, it was crazy. Like, and then you're fighting against Devin Clark. Bisping and them were talking all this shit about what you need to do and this and that. And you did the exact opposite of what they said. They were like, and then they were like, well, I guess I stand corrected. It's a lot easier for me to say that from out here. Like, I never saw announcers just in about face. That was crazy.
Yeah, because at one point, it was so funny because he was like, thanks for making me look stupid. And in my mind, I'm like, I didn't have to try that hard.
Yeah. That was, I mean, so many. And then there was one fight I watched where I think it was on The Contender where the guy tapped and the ref was all the way on the other side of the cage and you had to hold him just to show the ref he was tapping.
Yeah. That was I fought Emiliano Sordi.
Yeah.
26 seconds and I finished him. And like I knew when he tapped me, because it was at a moment where I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, oh man, I just won. And then I looked at the ref and the ref was still on the other side. And I was like, all right, well, here we go again. Because there's another fight. I think it's on YouTube somewhere where I had to let the dude go because he went to sleep. And the referee didn't see him go. And so I had to hold him and let him go. I held him long enough to know once I let him go, he'll still be out when I let him go. And I figured I was going to have to do it then too.
That's a dangerous game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten too good at choking, though. I'm comfortable with it. You know, I understand what a referee's position is and all that good stuff. So if he's not in position, that's fine with me. I'll just let you go when I need to.
Wow. Nah, man, you're and then there was one fight. I mean, that uppercut you hit on Little Nog was like, yeah, that was insane.
That was nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're in a really good spot. What do you think you have to do? How many fights away do you think you are from getting a title shot?
I would like to be like two well-placed fights. If I continue to fight up, it'd be two, I think. If I could fight between 10 and 5 and then between 5 and 1, I'll be in title fight, my third fight. We've already tried to fight two ranked guys and they didn't want to fight, so I'm not sure what's going to be the next move.
Man, I think you're also really nice. You think maybe if you come become like a big Trump supporter or something, or
I get shot. I'm black.
Is there like an angle we can go at, like just like putting up dick pics or something, or something we can do?
I seen the move Kobe tried to make, and he got hit with a boomerang. I don't think they hit me with a boomerang. They hit me with a bullet.
Yeah, that's a good point. Who do you like, by the way, between Gilbert Burns and Usman?
Ooh. Man, so I like them both, man. But I'm a teammate of Usman's brother, so I'm gonna have to go Usman.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be a good fight. And then didn't Joe, isn't Gaethje fighting? Didn't they say Gaethje's fighting soon?
Well, I think he'll be fighting Khabib, but that's not gonna be for a while, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that'll be like September or something, maybe.
Who do you think wins that fight?
Oh man, that's another pick'em fight. If it's gonna be a finish, I think if it's gonna be a knockout, of course it's gonna be Justin. A submission, it can go either way. I think a decision would be Khabib.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sounds
now,
right.
What are your thoughts about all these fighters now going on strike, or at least Masvidal, John Jones and Connor? Is that good? Are you like, good, get out of here, more fights for me? Or like, yeah, we need to be make more money. Like, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, I'm always down to make more money. The only thing I don't like about the I keep wanting to call him Jonathan. I said I was going to do that once I fight for the title. But the thing about John is he said something along the lines of he was going to vacate his title and all that. I'm not a big proponent of that one. I'm still low-key a fan of his fighting, you know, not so much of stuff outside. But,
yeah.
Yeah. But
you're not a fan of cocaine? Okay.
No, man, I tried it, man. It didn't do me as, like, it had my nose itchy.
That's the ride. That's the fun part.
The only thing I don't like about him not fighting is the fact that it'll break up the lineage of the title.
Right.
And, like, I don't care who have it when I get there. I'm taking it. But the lineage is – the thing that I want, you know. So hopefully that don't happen.
Stipe DC 3, who wins this one?
I want DC to win. Purely one as a fan, I like DC, and I want him to finish on top. Like, I'm a fan of greatness, man, and I want him to leave like on top. Ooh. You haven't seen that too often, so I would like to know that somebody can do it. So when I get to that point, that like, hey, DC did it, or somebody else, you know, GSP did it, I'm gonna do it. You know, type. So as a fan of greatness, I want him to win.
You're still a huge mystery to me, man. Like how you have no wrestling background, no jiu-jitsu background. You became a fighter because you wanted to get out of painting, and now you're number 13 in the world. I like something's missing here. Like what am I missing? Did you play any combat sports at all before the age of 20?
Any what?
Combat sports before the age of 20, 21?
Everything. I didn't compete. I just trained for a very long time. Like I couldn't afford to do the boxing. I couldn't afford like the book and all that stuff. And so I never really got to compete. Like even when we was in Taekwondo and karate and stuff, I couldn't afford to go to tournaments and stuff. My brother went, but only one of us could afford to go. He was older. So plus he had help, like sponsor people that basically took him and stuff. So I never got to compete, but I've just been training all my life. So I don't know. It's weird. You know, I started wrestling at around 20, 21.
That's amazing.
And one of my mentors is he wrestled in college, and that's kind of where we got started. He was like 43, 42, having like his first amateur fight or something. And he came in, and he was also like a doctor. So he came in and just messed me up. And I was like, kind of fell in love with wrestling. And I think that was like the last one, but I've did everything. I've did karate, taekwondo, judo, aikido, boxing. And I added jiu-jitsu at like 18 when I went to the college thing, and then went to MMA and then wrestling.
So Greg, you're from Texas too. You're from El Paso. How rough of an area is Beaumont, where he's from?
Beaumont?
Yeah.
Well, it's Beaumont's one of those in the Rio Grande Valley, or is that on the water?
No. So Beaumont is like basically southeast Texas. It's about – I actually fought in the Rio Grande Valley. It's about 6 or 7 hour drive away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, closer to that, south.
Is it over near Corpus Christi or something like that?
Nope. I think Corpus Christi is it's closer to Houston.
It's closer to Houston.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's like east, I think east of Houston. Like 80-something miles east. There's nothing there.
Your team is a bunch of awesome fighters right now. It's you, Black Beast, right?
No. He's in Houston. So I'm in Dallas. So we have
– See, and Dallas is where I actually grew up. I grew up in the Dallas area. And so I actually I went to high school in Plano. And so,
That's about an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where are you at? What part of Dallas are you in?
East Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I live in East Dallas. Yeah.
So, who are some of the guys that you're training with?
We have Alonzo Minifield, Kennedy, and Zichico, which are us three are in light heavyweight. Then we have Jeff Neal, Uriah Hall, Macy, Shason, Shasson. Depends on where you are.
Wow.
Diego Fajeda.
Wow. I love Alonzo, man. What a good dude.
I love Alonzo.
What a crazy story too, man. That he's a guy that went to like 15 different juvenile detention centers and group homes. Mm-hmm. And he got taken in by this Christian mm-hmm. African family who basically it's like the Blind Side, except they want no credit. And a black family took him in, not even a white family. And they took him and his brother. All they wanted to do was, and then the guy made college football. Now he's awesome. He's got a hot wife. He's got great kids. He's like, same with you, man. Your wife is smoking hot too. Good for you, Ryan.
He said,
no problem.
Wait, this is the,
Hey, Ryan, let me ask you something. Earlier in the interview, I swear I heard you say that you started training at 18 months. Did I hear that wrong? Did you say you were a baby and you were already training?
Yes.
You did say that. That is what you said.
Yeah.
Okay, explain that to me because I'm trying to visualize it. And I'm like, man, that is, how do you, little baby, you know, did they give you a little baby's first punching bag or what went down, man?
We were living in Memphis. My brother is 10 years older than me. So my mom worked two jobs. And when she was working and whatever, my brother wanted to, if I'm not mistaken, I think my brother wanted to box and they didn't have boxing because I think his biological dad was a boxer and his uncle. And so he wanted to box and they didn't have boxing. So we went to either Aikido or Taekwondo. And so I would go with him because basically that was like our babysitter. So
yeah,
it got to a point where I was just basically trying to do what they were doing and kind of took me in and they were showing me stuff and all that. Yeah.
Were you sparring other 18-month kids or no?
No, nah, man. Look, I was the baddest mofo south for 3 years old, man.
Your poor Pooh Bear must have just taken a beating. I can only imagine. Oh,
man, we had Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers, man. So yeah.
Oh, you were choking out the Power Rangers, weren't you?
They weren't ready, man.
Oh, so Ryan, where can people find you on Instagram or Twitter?
I think it's Superman_Span.
Well, listen, man, it's an honor having you on the show. Don't forget about us when you're a champion, please.
Hey, man, look, I'm trying to be where y'all at right now, man. You got like verified on Twitter and stuff. I don't have that. So.
Huge fan, man. Hopefully next time you'll have a shirt on.
I couldn't go full naked, man, because it'd be dark. So
of course. Your penis would actually go away. It would actually hit Greg's box up there. Your penis
exactly. I don't do the interview like this. I'd be all.
Hey, just don't make eye contact. We're good.
No, eye contact.
Thanks so much. Take care, man.
Take care, brother.
Peace out. See you guys.
I like Ryan Spann. What a great guy.
What a great guy, you know, and you know, so realistic. You know, it's so funny. In the era immediately after Connor, it felt like everybody was trying to be bombastic, trying to call out the top, trying to demand a shot right now. And now you see a guy who's like, I probably need two more big wins, and then, yes, I deserve a title shot. And that's exactly what I was thinking realistically in my mind. I was like, he needs two big wins, and then you have to give him the title shot. And I thought that was very realistic and you know, humble.
You know, it's also like his calmness is probably the scariest thing. Like, imagine having to fight a guy that calm.
Yeah.
But like,
no, absolutely. He's so comfortable with the knowledge. And that was like when he said he started training in 18 months, you just went right past it. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Did he just say he was training as a baby?
I know, you're right. I kind of figured that's what he meant, but then I was like, I should have delved into it.
I thought maybe he started training when his daughter was 18 months. Oh. I thought maybe that was the clarification. Like, I missed some little part of it. And then it was like, no, he started training when he was 1.5 years old.
I'm kind of puzzled as to how he got so good with like the limited access. Like, he wasn't like a kid that was a, you know, three-time All-American wrestler that
right,
went
right.
Hey, I mean, he's a guy that was like, my brother's a boxer and I'll go to the gym, and that's how athletic and good he is, you know, and how
well. And I think he probably had to wrestle a lot with his brother, like you said. His brother was 10 years older, you know, and whenever there's that kind of disparity, I mean, it's almost, it's basically, it's Khabib with the bear.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you're having to learn to overcome something so substantially larger than you that when you get down to working against guys your own size, it becomes, you know, a lot easier.
And his brother's in Iraq, too. How cool is that? Like, that's awesome.
I don't know if cool is the word for
it. Not cool.
It's admirable. It's certainly admirable.
That's a better word.
These guys are just good people. Because, you know what happened?
I think cool, you know, Burning Man. is cool.
Well, what happened was,
admirable.
Well, what happened was recently, you know, because I say, hey, I'm doing the shows every Friday, and he tweeted out, oh shit, I missed this one. When's the next one? And I was like, oh, it's next Friday, but my Zoom shows. And I'm like, this guy's going out of the way to watch my fucking show. Get him on the podcast. Like, you know, like he's just obviously like, what a down to earth, what a real human being. I love fucking guys like that, man. Just like, you know, just I hope he becomes champion. All right, let's talk about some more fights that happened. So now Caitlin Chookagian called out Cavillo. Look, I like that fight. It's hard when Valentina just ran through everybody. You know, like when there's such a big like Valentina like destroyed Jessica Ai, destroyed Caitlin Chookagian. It's hard to get excited about like the two and three people. You know, I'm like, it's same with Nunez, you know, like obviously I like those fights. I wish I want to see Cavillo versus Chookagian. I mean, versus Valentina. I think she's next in line. Mm-hmm. Right.
I agree.
Yeah. But it's almost next in line by default, you know? Yeah. And this is why I don't think, I mean, there's only two female fighters that can headline, and it's Shevchenko and Nunez. And the rest, I mean, they shouldn't be headliner fights. Well, because they're not headliner fights.
It's not true. The girls.
We got Weili Zhang.
Weili Zhang. And I want to see Weili Zhang versus Tatiana Suarez. That's the fight, I think, to make. But I also think that, but Cavillo's also like 10-1, 11-1. I'm saying if she loses to Caitlin, I understand why Caitlin wants this fight, because she wins this fight, she gets another title shot. And of course, Caitlin thinks that like she could do better. And of course, I'm sure she can. I just want to see Cavillo next, because I think it would be a good fight. And I'd be entertained. I'll tell you who looked really good was that guy, Martin Vettori, the Italian guy.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, he was a man on a mission, and he looked bad. I mean, he's a bad man. Where his size and his power and his mental game is very strong. That, I'm scared of that guy. That guy scares me.
It's like he was pissed at all the Columbus statues being torn down this week.
What's up, people? There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, Bet Online. Sports are slowly making its way back with the UFC, NASCAR, and soccer leading the way. BetOnline has all the best odds and lines for the upcoming matches this weekend. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening every day live for you to check out. Looking for something else other than sports? We got you. BetOnline has hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and all the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag or use your mobile device and join now to receive your new welcome bonus and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
So Carl Robinson has a win over Ryan Spann, the guy we just talked to. Now what happened was he lost to him 10 fights ago, then went to the LFA, won three fights, then got to the UFC and won eight fights. So, I mean, or won five fights. He's on an eight-fight winning streak. So Carl Robinson's a good fighter. And from Martin Vettori to just run through him.
And I think for me, and it was a lot of pent-up rage for him too. You know, they say you're supposed to leave the emotion out of this, but it sounds like for some guys, the emotion is a big part of the game.
1,000%. I was happy for Charles Rosa. He got a win. It seems like a lot of these guys who were losing are just staying in Vegas. I don't even know if they're even leaving the locker room, but they're fighting like a week later.
I know. Like, it's the same fighters every card. Even the next card, we have Roosevelt Roberts is fighting Jim Miller, and Roosevelt Roberts just fought like 4 days ago.
Like, are these people even, like, they're not even leaving the arena. They're just coming back. They're just turning around and walking right back to the cage. But Charles Rose is a guy who went to Florida to become a chef, and he lived across from American Top Team, and he went there to just lose weight, and now he's in the UFC, and he's killing it. It's just freaking crazy, right? I mean, how many guys move to Florida?
But I think this is also a testament about how thin they make, again, because they have so many fight nights, so many UFCs, so many cards, that you wind up I think it's a watered-down product.
I don't know. It's a crazy sport. I mean, how many guys, move to Florida and live across the street from the Lakers and then all of a sudden join the team in a week? It's just – that doesn't happen.
I think that makes my point more than your point.
I'll tell you.
You're right. You shouldn't be able to live across the street from the Lakers, and then the next week, like, hey, I'm just like you, bro. That's like that one guy that flyers for your show, and then he does one open mic, and he's like, I'm just like you now. I'm a comedian just like you.
No, you're not. No, the worst is when a comic drops in on the same show, and they go, he opened for Chris Rock. I'm like, no, he didn't. Like, Chris Rock came to the comedy club, went on, and you went on five times before, and you didn't open for Chris Rock.
Exactly, but they do it all the time,
All the time. All right, so...
How about Andre Feely sweeping back in out of nowhere, man? And what was funny was in the beginning of that fight, you know, that Jordan guy, I was like, man, I don't know if Feely's in trouble, and then Feely just decided, nah, I'm gonna win. And just once he decided to show what he could do, it became really impressive.
No, he came from behind harder than Lance Bass. He was, by the way, I tweeted that joke. Joe Rogan said that joke of mine like 6 years ago on a Fox broadcast and got like, people wanted him boycotted for that. He's like, my friend Adam, comedian, said he comes from behind more than Lance Bass. And people were like, fire Joe Rogan. And then Rogan had me on his podcast a week later to talk about it, which, by the way, I didn't even know what it was at the time. It was like when Rogan's podcast first became big. And I got so stoned on that podcast, like to beginning, because Rogan's like, hey, I smoked some weed. I'm like, sure, why not? I didn't know where the fuck I was. And then I drank this coffee, this bulletproof coffee. I'm higher than fuck. And he starts like kind of confronting me, like, you know, some of these jokes you make. And I'm like, I'm thinking that this is like an intervention. And there's going to be like 75 fighters outside waiting to come in and just confront me. That's how fucking paranoid I was. So if I had to do it over again, I would do it much differently. I'll tell you who looked really good. It was Maria Agapova.
Oh, yeah.
That girl.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? She reminded me of when Johanna, when we first saw her, and she had that aggression, and those fists were just fucking, and that girl, when she started that fight, I looked at my wife, and I go, oh, this girl fights like it's a street fight. Like, yeah. She ain't waiting, she ain't sizing up, she is coming after you and trying to knock you out like you just grabbed her boyfriend's dick.
And her interview afterward was like, her eyes were popping out of her head. Like, I even said she's on bath salts. And what's his name? That kid from Kentucky. Who's that kid that wants camo shorts? Bryce?
Bryce Mitchell.
Bryce Mitchell wrote, haha, when he's laughing at you being on bath salts, you're fucking out of your mind. When Bryce Mitchell's like, this person's got fucking... But, yeah, she's going to be tough to beat. She lost to Tracy Cortez. And Tracy Cortez might be the hottest women in MMA, like in all of them. She came to my show and I was like, whoa, this is a smoke show right here. Like, damn. And she beat her. Like, the UFC is slipping on Tracy Cortez. I mean, cause she is a hottie. And she could fight if she beat that girl. Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you who looked also good was Mera.
Wait a minute, Cortez beat Mazzani?
No, you beat Agapova. Yeah, the girl. Yeah, she beat her like four fights ago. On Dana White's Contender Series.
Wow.
And
Cortez
lost her first fight and won like 9 in a row, and she's smoking hot, Greg. I mean, like in person too. A lot of times you see him in person and women in general, and you're like, oh, hotter on paper kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The case here. I'll tell you who looked good was Mereb Dishalibi. I knew Gustavo Lopez when he was roommates with Misha Tate, actually. She was like renting the house to them, and did a bunch of fighters living there. He was a good kid, really nice guy. And this guy has insane wrestling. I mean, insane wrestling. He has that Khabib strength, and he wants to fight O'Malley next. And that's a tough fight for O'Malley.
Yeah, I would not take
that. I was going to say, that's one of those styles makes fights kind of scenes.
I want to see it. I mean, look, I would love to see that fight because O'Malley's stand up and striking is insane, and this dude's wrestling is insane, and it's one of those like UFC 1 matchups of what's gonna win. But if I was the UFC, they have a star in O'Malley and they have a potential star in this kid, so I would keep them away from each other for at least a while, because what are you gonna do? I mean, both of them aren't ranked right now, and you're just gonna possibly fuck up one of them, right? At the same time, if you want to make the best fights, and you know that this is a that's a fan's fight right there. you know?
Yeah.
I would love to see it.
Meerkat's a great fight.
Julia Avila beat Gina Mazzani. That was rough to watch. I like Gina. And Tyson Nam won. And Tyson keeps asking me to roast him. He's like, when are you going to roast me? When are you going to roast me? Well, now I got to, like, research the guy because I don't really know much about him.
Well, he's got, you know, what's it, didn't he have that, like, up and down record? What's his?
Yeah, he was on, like, a 3-fight losing streak, and I was going to put can't lose them all or something, you know?
You should have done that then.
I know.
But again, this is a guy, this Adeshev, I know he's got some big record as a kickboxer or whatever, but and I know he took it on short notice. But again, it speaks to, you know, the how thin, there isn't somebody that's at least in fight shape that they could find for this. I mean, this guy, he didn't look good, and then it wound up going exactly like it looked. You know? I was hoping he would come out and surprise me and be like, wow, this guy still got it. And even Nam was worried about how bad he knocked him out. Nam was like crying. And like, he was like, please wake up. Please don't be dead. Please don't be dead.
He's come a long way since winning Last Comic Standing the first season.
And he's funnier.
Yeah, way funnier. Poor Dad. All right, so this week.
Dad's a nice guy.
But being a nice guy is like telling someone, you know, a girl's got a great personality. Hey, is she hot? Or I think she's hot. Or I think she's pretty. When you ask a girl if her friend's hot and she says, I think she's pretty, it's not good. It's not good.
That is not, yeah, that's never good. Yeah.
The world does not think she's pretty.
I dated a girl like that once, and her friend was coming from France, and she wanted to hook her up with my roommate. I was like, is she hot? And she was like, I think she is beautiful. And I was like, and this girl, like, okay, it, a caricature of a witch if you took the makeup off. Oh. It was so bad. It was just like, I mean, literally like, to where you were like, you don't even think she's, come on, you liar.
Of course not. Of course.
You don't think that. It's like, she may be a great person. She was a great person. Totally cool. But I mean, come on. Not even you think she's. This is
like the original.
Not that I'm any prize either, but hopefully nobody has ever tried to sell me anybody going, he's short and he's fat, but I think he's handsome.
What's it called on Instagram when you like, when, or on Twitter, when you like say something that you're kind of like, say something really positive because you want to shame other people, basically. You're just.
Virtue signaling?
Yeah, yeah. That those are like the original virtual signalers. I think she's hot. Because you know, like, because you want to make it seem like you think she's hot. But, you know, anyway. So this week.
I just hate terms like, what was that? Virtue signaling?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when you post a black square on Instagram.
To let everybody know you. I'll go as far as humble brag, but that's it, you know?
Oh, you hate the actual term, or you hate people that do it, though?
No, I'm fine with the term because I think it accurately describes what people are doing.
Yeah.
Virtue signaling is just like some fake clinical term to make something sound better than it is.
No, the worst is when I'll make a joke that has nothing to do with like, I said, like the Tito Ortiz joke. I said, Tito Ortiz wants to be a cop. It'll be the first time to beat someone under the age of 40 in 10 years, right? That was a joke I made.
Right.
I was like, I don't find jokes about police brutality funny. I'm like, okay. Do I have to explain to you that the joke's about Tito Ortiz beating people? Because if I have to do that, now it's not fun anymore. And then eventually, if I keep explaining it, there might be a hole in my explanation that you could jump on that. And it's just a fucking... It's a well. It never ends. So it's it's enough. I fucking hate
it. But while I fundamentally agree with you, timing is everything.
And now is the best time. You can't say. I'm just saying
you have to expect that because it's a hot button issue right now.
But Greg, you have to understand it's never going to be like, okay, now it's okay to tell jokes. They're just going to find another hot topic for issue to tell jokes. It's censorship.
I'm just saying you should have expected it.
Yeah, probably. I just can't. I hate when people can't. When people go, oh, that topic is off limits. No. Listen.
No. I wasn't saying that at all. As I said, I fundamentally agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, timing being what it is, that's pretty much predictable.
I get it. But like, look, when Kobe died, I was not going to rush to the fucking Twitter and make a Kobe joke. You know, like, I'm not going to do it. You have to look at your audience. Who's going to laugh? Blah, blah, blah. At the same time.
And that's what I'm saying. Timing sometimes, this is what's the, you know.
But at the same time, you could figure out a way to make a joke about a subject where the victim isn't Kobe Bryant or his family. It's something else. You know what I'm saying? Like the joke was about Tito Ortiz beating up people that are past their prime. It wasn't about police brutality. You know, like that's sort of, I can't, people can't determine who the joke's about. They just look at the entire, like, I don't find jokes about rape funny. I'm not making a rape joke. I'm making, like when I said, like, back when the War Machine was going on, I had all these War Machine jokes. You know, I don't think it's funny to mess around. Like, just figure out who the fucking joke's about, okay? It's, all right, whatever. Curtis Blaydes versus Volkov.
That's a great card.
Yes.
Hold on one second, if I may really quickly, Adam. Curtis Blaydes, motherfucker! Woo!
So Curtis Blaydes versus
A1 from day one. A1 from day one.
It's like when like the looting was happening, and I was making looting jokes. Like they went into Best Buy, and the Genius Bar told them to come back in an hour. Like it was about. It wasn't about. I'm not making. All right. Anyway. So Blaydes versus Volkov. I like Blaydes in this. I like Blaydes.
Yeah, me too.
I think that Volkov didn't look very good against Greg Hardy. And I think Blaydes is just a step above.
Blaydes consistently surprised. I think Blaydes has been surprising everybody from the very beginning.
I think unless you have Ngannou's power, Blaydes will beat you. It seems like that's the only thing he can't beat is Ngannou. Ngannou sneezes and he fucking falls down. But for some reason, everybody else he can beat. Shane Burgos versus Emmett. It's a tough one. I think Burgos is going to win. By the way, just so you know, Jack Jr. hits me up. He knows nothing about MMA. And he goes, who do you have this week? I go, who's fighting? Because I'm not gonna do the fucking work for you. Just give me the card. I hate when I'm like, I had to go research the card now. But you're my friend. So I'm like, tell me who's fighting. And he gives me, he screenshots it. And I go, A, B, C, D. Within 2 seconds. He hits a parlay, all of them last week. A fucking five-fight parlay. Yeah, of course. Like, so he actually threw me $50 because he made like $500.
That's good. See, you know what? He's a good guy that way. That was very smart because that would not have hit if you bet for yourself.
No, 1,000%. But I would have overthought it. Like, I would have go, who should I bet? And then I would have talked myself out of it, or I would have been like, well.
And you would have missed by one fight. You would have fucked yourself on one fight where you would have initially thought to go the other way, because that's what you do every time.
What happened to me on this card? This past weekend, I had Jessica I in every single one of my parlay picks. And when it came to that fight in, like, the third round when she got taken down, I just, like, walked out of the house. I'm like, I'm done betting on UFC fights forever. It's not working out.
Yeah, right. You're going
to
bet.
First sport to bet on.
All right. So Raquel Pennington versus Mary Ronell. This is a tough one to score because Raquel Pennington's also somebody who just can't seem to beat like the best ones, but
yeah,
everybody else. Marion is like this smoking hot school teacher. And you got to wonder, has COVID helped her? Because she's not in school the last 3 months. She's been probably training, right?
That's a good point.
But who's she training with? Because you can't go to the gyms that aren't open. So,
yeah.
I don't know. And it seems like, I don't know about this one. Raquel and Tisha are in love. Seems like they like the love has been taken over there. I don't know. This is a tough one. It's a tough one. Because like Mary Renault, I would not have thought would have beaten Sarah McMahon. I'm like, and she did. And she wins these close ones.
Yeah.
This is a tough fight to score.
I got Marion by submission.
Really?
See, that's what I would think. For me, I want Raquel Pennington to win, but I think Marion Renault is the one that's going to win. And I think it's going to be by submission. I think she's going to brawl her. I think she's going to, you know.
I don't know. No one's ever submitted Raquel Pennington. She never submits. She's just fucking. So how is that going to work?
She just got submitted. Let me see her record.
I don't think she's ever been submitted. I don't think she's ever been submitted.
Doesn't mean it can't happen.
Of course, that doesn't mean it can't happen. But I'm just saying it's not like she puts herself in those situations. She's a straight-up striker, brawler. But did she peak with Misha Tate? I don't know. I remember she beat Misha. That was a big win for her. And then when she fought on Nunez, she hung in there. I mean, she got the shit beaten out of her, but hung in there.
that was tough.
All right, she was submitted by Kaz Ngannou.
Raquel Bennington, I've always liked her. I think she's great.
Like
that was 8 years ago in 2012.
Okay, so that's not.
I think I remember that fight.
Lyman Good versus Bilal Muhammad. Lyman Good came to my show in New Jersey. Talk about like a man's man. He's like straight, like looks like he's like just ripped, tan, had like a leather jacket, smoking hot wife, just had like an entourage. Just to, like, he's like the guy that I always wanted to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking right now. I'm like, I want to be that man. Giant, thick beard, beautiful hair.
He had COVID. And just got rid of it somehow. Like, I don't even think he even went to the doctor. He had coronavirus. But
he got rid of it. He got rid of it by going this. That's what
squeezed really hard and flexed.
He just shot it out of his muscles.
But Bilal Muhammad keeps getting better. And he's funny as shit, by the way. There's a guy whose father, who's overhit the riots, hit his dad's store. His dad's an immigrant, came here, opened up a store in Chicago. They looted the fuck out of it. This dude, I mean, talk about like.
How is that funny?
Awful. Not funny at all.
Because you're like, okay, the setup was very bad there. He goes,
he's a funny.
Super funny guy. His dad has this show.
No, yeah, right.
Got looted the shit out of him. I'm like, wait a minute, where is this adding up to him being
welcome funny? To my life, dude. I just have random facts in my head, and they all come out.
ADHD.
I thought he had posted some hilarious joke on Twitter about
it. He does. He always posts fun shit. He has a really funny Tony Ferguson workout program that he posted where he does everything wrong. It's like the bench press. Like he goes to the bench press and starts to like going under it and over it, and like handstands on it, like and like the dumbest shit you've ever seen. Like he, this
dude's that's hilarious.
And he was a law student. The guy went to law school. He's from Palestine. His parents all want him to be like, they hate the fact that he's a fighter. Bilal's the real deal. This is gonna be a good fight. Both these guys are like legit studs. Just fucking tough guys, man, who just that's gonna be a good fight. Jim Miller versus Roosevelt Roberts. I like Roosevelt in this fight. He looked amazing his last fight. Jim Miller is getting up there. And I like Jim Miller, but another one, Bobby Green versus Clay Guida.
Oh wow.
What? See? Come on. What? Come on, Clay. Oh my God.
Come on. I love Clay Guida. Clay Guida's going to run to fight.
I love him too. I'm worried about his health. I mean, come on. The guy's been fighting, you know, since, I mean, pre 9/11.
Dude, this guy has wins over Nate Diaz. He has wins over Rafael Dos Anjos. He's going to win over Anthony Pettis. Three Hall of Famers he has wins over, Clay Guida.
You really none in the last decade.
I'm telling you, here's what I think is wrong with Clay Guida. He comes out with his brother, who's like 700 pounds at this point, who before every fight punches him in the face. And I think he starts out fucking dazed.
He starts out seeing stars. He's half concussed already.
Yeah, like as long as that doesn't happen, I think Clay's going to win. Bobby Green talks so much shit during these fights. Like I can't wait for this fight because you're gonna hear, especially with like no audience, Bobby Green.
Yeah.
He has more like curses per minute than any fighter out there. Usually he talks shit and then gets knocked out like lately. But everyone says like in the actual gym, Bobby Green's the best. He's a beast.
I love Clay Guida. I've always been a fan of his. It's one of those like, is it safe still? Is it? I don't know.
But he's fighting Bobby Green's no fucking spring chicken either, though. Bobby Green's been around just as long as Clay.
Yeah. So this is a fight that just shouldn't happen. I mean,
well, this is
the senior circuit.
They're gonna have a bare knuckle fight next week. So Keisha Torres is fighting Brianna Van Buren.
There you go.
Who is Via? I like how Tisha and her girlfriend are on the same card. That's pretty awesome. I love Tisha. She came to my Zoom comedy show. Tisha Torres never laughs. She's been to like 10 of my shows, straight face. And at the end, will like DM me going, "You're the best. I had so much fun."
I'm
like,
that was hilarious.
I mean, Jeff Ross used to be like, "You having fun? Tell your face." If there was ever like a person that should be said to, it's Tisha Torres. But and that's just her. She's got resting bitch face. I love Tisha. I hope she wins this fight. Courtney Casey, who fought 2 weeks ago, is fighting Jillian Robertson, who she left her gym, I think American Top Team, to train with Dean Thomas. Talk about a smoke show. You want to follow a hottie on Instagram? Follow Jillian Robertson. Courtney Casey is also beautiful. She played soccer in college. She's with Dracar Close. Good thing. Coming off a big submission. This could be a good fight because Jillian was on a
roll. Isn't she tall? Courtney Casey looks really tall.
She's the one that gave Felice Herrig the finger in the middle of the fight. They gave
her Yeah.
She's fucking psycho, both of them. Also, Frank Camacho was another guy who's just a stand-up fighting. He's fighting Matt the Steamroller Frivola, who trains out of Long Island. The Steamroller Frivola. That's kind of a cool nickname, right? And then
I like it.
My man Max Roshko, who's hilarious, good dude, who he was a guy that was like depressed, on drugs, all kinds of fucking problems. Went to North Carolina, killed it as a wrestler. I think he caught his dad, his stepdad beating his mom. So he threw him out of a window or like some crazy, I'm butchering the story, but he had some terrible background. And he got called up to the UFC this week. He's undefeated and he's a black belt. And he's a guy, people, if you look out for this dude, he's really, really
good. Who is he? Which one?
Max Roshoff. He's fighting Austin Hubbard and he's really good. He's really, really good.
Oh, this says Joe Selecki.
Yeah, that's wrong. Max had the call yesterday. And then,
okay, so Joe had to drop out, so they replaced him.
And then a fight that I'm really interested in is Lauren Murphy, who's another girl that was – remember her? She was like – her dad died in a plane accident. She was a heroin addict, lost custody of her kid, got custody back, went to, like, train with her daughter. Now she's, like, ranked number 3 in the world. She's awesome. Is fighting Roxanne Modafari, who's won, like, 10 out of her last 11 fights after losing, like, 7 in a row, who couldn't be nicer. This is going to be a good fight. This should be an interesting fight because Roxanne just beat the girl from she was like a 10-1 underdog.
Yeah. I think Roxanne is on the swing back up.
It should be a good fight.
Let's see if she can keep it rolling against Lauren, you know, who's very tough. So
yeah, it should be.
I think that could be going to be a great fight.
It's going to be a great fight. And Roxanne's one of those fighters that's so awkward that it's kind of like a Stan Alvey that's hard to train.
Right.
It's like everything's in slow motion, but it's like effective slow motion. super cool. I remember Roxanne came to my comedy show and said she loved it, but didn't get half the jokes. I'm not sure that Roxanne isn't an alien, but like, if it came down that like they put like a girl, doesn't she remind you of that girl from Small Wonder, like Vicky the Robot? If anybody,
right.
But she's just like sort of as a human, but not, you know, like just something very strange about Roxanne. And Lauren's cool. Like she came to my show and I go, "Who likes it in the face?" She raised her hand. I go, "Who has implants?" She raised her hand. She's kind of a hardcore, dirty, fun girl. Like a down low party girl. Like she's one of those girls that has so many issues that like when she blows you, your dick's gonna be drained. Like you're gonna have nothing left.
Some hardcore MILF.
I'm not sure. Okay. All right. So anyway, listen. You've never had a girl like that, like starts crying during sex, and just like chanting some crazy shit, and just fucking like fuck me and punch me in the face and just yelling all kinds of stuff. You never had that, Greg?
Nah, not really. I mean, crying, yes, but that's usually once the lights go.
Joe, you ever had a girl like just a fucking? Like, I'm telling you, girls that were, like, ex-drug addicts are usually amazing in bed.
No, I've definitely had some psychos that, I mean, watching the pendulum swing moment to moment from, like, why would you do that? Oh, I love this song. Like, it's just like, oh, my God. How many faces do you have?
My wife walked in just now, I think, on that last comment I made. I love you, babe. Your mom's trying to sleep and you're hearing about the ex-drug addicts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yelling about people being really good in bed really is. super fun.
Okay.
During my work calls.
All right. I love you. All right. That went well.
Okay. Well, I got to go.
All right. So, listen, well, that's our
podcast. Listen, well, we're winding down, I think, anyway. I think it's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
Yep. Adam, have a good day.
My wife's on her Zoom calls, and I'm yelling, women that are drug addicts are great in bed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll tell you.
Thank you, Ryan Spann. Thanks, Ween Dog. Thank you, Greg. I'll see you guys soon.
Peace.
Talk to you, bro.